Father God, we ask you to still our hearts and minds and to open our eyes and ears as we look again at Mary's story. Amen. Let me take you back to a time over 2,000 years ago to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, and in particular to the home of a young girl, probably still a teenager, named Mary. For Mary, the daily routine of life would have been similar to many other girls of her age, working around the house and so forth. As was customary for the time, her parents would find her a suitable husband. A legal and witnessed agreement would be made, and a small gift would be given to the bride. In Mary's case, she was betrothed to Joseph, a descendant from David's line, and would expect to marry after a period of about a year. To this seemingly ordinary life, the unexpected happens. God sends the angel Gabriel to her. We don't know whether this was during the day or night, inside or outdoors. The Bible doesn't say, and so it's left to our imaginations. His first words were one of greeting. "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." How did Mary react? I'd like to pause there just for a moment and bring you back to the present and to ask you to imagine the following scenario. We all have our routines, the ebbs and flows of life. We come to church on a Sunday expecting to worship God, to pray, to hear from him, and to have fellowship with one another. But what if we see an angel standing right here at the front of the church right now? His opening salutations, "Good people of St. James, okay so far. I come from Almighty God and I have a message for you. God has chosen you to undertake a particular task for him that will take you completely out of your comfort zone." How would we react? And more importantly, how would we respond? I'm guessing that as we are all different, our initial responses would be varied and might include disbelief, confusion, or of being startled both by the presence of a heavenly being and the message given, and then maybe fear would set in. As we look back at the text, we see that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I would like to suggest that the fear that the angel sensed in Mary was one of not knowing what the Lord was going to ask of her, rather than one of absolute terror. And he quickly moved to both reassure and assure her that she had been chosen by God. Then he brings her the heart of God's message. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end." That's verses 31 to 33. Mary would have known of the prophetic words in Isaiah, but confronted with the situation that she found herself in, I doubt they were at the forefront of her mind. But again, we can only imagine some of the thoughts that she might have had. But Mary had both the strength of character and the courage to ask how this could come about, considering that she was a virgin. We know from our Bible passage that she would conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't know if that was immediate or sometime later. We're not told. Now, this must have been difficult for Mary to take it all in. Firstly, she was in the presence of an angel. She's going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and she is to become the mother of God's Son. That could have been a very lonely place to find herself in. But again, the angel steps in, bringing words of comfort and encouragement to her. The news that an elderly relative, Elizabeth, believed to be barren, was expecting a child and was in her sixth month. And here are the words that I have underlined in my Bible: for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary's response: I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She had a choice, a decision to make. She could have said no, but she didn't. She said yes. Then the angel left her. Mary made the decision to go immediately to visit Elizabeth in a town about 80 miles away, and probably it would have taken her about 4 days to get there. And we know from verse 30 that she stayed for about 3 months before returning home. Time to think about her recent experiences, to worry about how she was going to break the news to Joseph. Time to wonder what would happen if he rejected her. Would she become a single mother, an outcast in the society of the time, or even stoned as an adulteress? But tempered with this would be time to share Elizabeth's joy, time to reflect, and time to be with God. Overall, a time of safety before stepping into the unknown. Why did God choose Mary? Firstly, Mary was both obedient and submissive to the will of God. She loved God and faithfully followed the Jewish laws, and she would continue to do so, exampled further on in Luke, by taking Jesus to the temple to be circumcised on the eighth day of his birth. Secondly, Mary trusted God. She had faith in him, and as Jesus grew into a man, we see her place her trust in him as the wine ran out at the wedding of Cana. And thirdly, Mary welcomed the Holy Spirit and inevitably welcomed the Son of God into the very centre of her being. A very close relationship. And as a mother, we see her consternation of losing Jesus at the temple, grieving for him at the cross, and waiting for his Spirit at Pentecost. But this was still to come. What can we learn from this remarkable woman? We may not have a personal encounter with an angel, but we can't rule it out. That is God's choice. But we know that Jesus left us with his Holy Spirit, who is always with us. As we move towards a new year and a new beginning, God may well have new challenges for us, both as a church and as individuals. We have seen that Mary had time to worry, time to reflect, and time to be ready. When God asks us to do things for him, he doesn't always expect us to act immediately. He gives us time. I would like at this point to share my testimony of becoming a Christian. Apologies if you've heard it before, it is now nearly 40 years ago. I had attended a day conference held by the Preschool Playgroup Association with a couple of playgroup leaders from church. And the topic of conversation at one point was about toddler groups and the lack of them on this side of Woodley. And I can promise you this, the words that came out of my mouth had not entered my mind at all. I'll start a toddler group in St. James if you would like me to. I think, if I'm honest, my first reaction to that was definitely one of shock, quickly followed by, how did that happen? And later in the day, in my kitchen, looking up the ceiling and saying, God, you got me into this. Now you'd better help me out. And yes, the first two thoughts that entered my mind were, what have I done? Quickly followed by, can I deliver? I didn't go looking for God, he found me. And we know that with the continued existence of the toddler group, my prayers were answered. No matter what God asks of us, we know that nothing is impossible with God. The question is this: are we, as the body of St. James, willing to be like Mary? To be obedient and say yes. Am I willing? Are you willing, as individuals, to be obedient to trust, and to say yes to God when he calls? Let us pray. Father God, We thank you for all that you have revealed to us through Mary's story. We ask now that you would help us to respond positively to the challenges that you set before us in the coming year, for the strength and the courage to be obedient and to have peace in our hearts in the knowledge that you are always Emmanuel, God with us, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. If anybody here is aware that God is asking them to walk a different path or to take on a specific task, but haven't quite got to the point of saying yes, could I encourage you to either speak to the prayer ministry team, who will be at the back of church, who will pray with you, or alternatively, if you would like it to be a one-to-one with God, then please respond in silent prayer as you come up for communion. Thank you.